thank everybody for coming out together as the body of Christ. Fellowship is an important part of our faith. We grow in God's grace as we grow in our love for one another in Jesus Christ. So it's really good that we're here. So a little different this evening. Instead of preaching an entire passage, I thought in these Sunday nights that we have together, I'm just going to allow God's word to teach us about a topic. And particularly tonight, we're going to talk about the topic of thankfulness. And in particular, I'm going to talk about thankfulness even when it hurts. Thankfulness even when it hurts. And a little spoiler alert, all of this material has been taken or adapted from a little booklet by a lady named Susan Lutz. She writes for with a group called Resources for Changing Lives. It's actually a whole list of little booklets. I don't know if you guys like little reading, little short booklets. I like short books. Those are my favorite kind of books. They're great. They're written to address some specific topics, and that's what I'm going to be taking us through on some of these Sunday night fellowships. They address a lot of different kinds of, a lot of different parts of life, everything from anger to stress to how to pursue a better path to peace, even things like finances. So, and actually, we're going to try to make these available for loaning out to you. So it'll be like a library. You can loan out one of these for yourself, and we'll take down your home address, and we'll come and find you if you don't return it. So we'll be like the evil librarian there. That's right. We'll get the mob on you for that little booklet. So, we'll be doing that. You know, at any church, a pastor's job, the Bible tells us, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's not pastors doing your job for you. It's pastors helping us to do our jobs. That's God's design by God's grace and hopefully the course that we'll be on as a church. So without further ado, let's talk about it. The topic is thankfulness. And, you know, in the world in which you and I live, thankfulness is often just seen as a polite thing to do. It's just a socially correct thing to do. Like whenever you get something unexpected or you get something good, you feel obligated to say how thankful you are for whatever you got. Whether it's a good grade, you got to immediately say, oh, well, I'm just thankful, you know, thankful to be here, thankful I had good parents to help me on my school assignment. Or, you know, you get a new job, you immediately, oh, I'm just very thankful to have the new job, or I'm thankful for this red velvet cake that I enjoy. You know, but if thankfulness is only a sweetener, something we're just supposed to say, something we're just supposed to do because it's expected and socially correct to say thank you, we have really emptied thankfulness of its real meaning and of its real place in our lives. There is a purpose to thankfulness. It's created by God, and it's a central part to our lives. And actually, it's pretty striking. But when we are feeling least thankful, that is often when we need to be most thankful. Often when we don't feel like being thankful is when we need most to be thankful. Now, that's pretty easy medicine to give out to other people. Who here doesn't love when someone hear them complaining? You're like, well, when I was your age, let me tell you how I had it. You should just be thankful. Or, you know, that's right. Yeah, people just tell you to suck it up and move on. And that's pretty easy medicine we like to dish out to other people when we hear them complain that you should just be thankful, you know. But boy, There are fewer things in life that can make you more angry than when somebody says that to you, right? Well, you should just be thankful. You just want to, you know, you just want to say exactly what you're feeling, right? You want to say things like, why should I be thankful? How can I be thankful? Or, you know, when will I ever have a time in my life when I'm able to be thankful? What is the purpose of thankfulness in my life? Because it seems like something that is escaping me. And this is common to our experience in life. We wonder, can I really be thankful? Can thankfulness be something that actually defines me as a person? And the Word of God, thankfully, it moves thankfulness from just being right manners to something that has real meaning in our lives. The Word of God moves thankfulness in our lives from being something that's just right manners to something that can have real meaning for you and I. So first off, five brief points. And whatever notes you might have, some of these you might be like, this doesn't help me at all. Some of these you might be like, wow, that one really speaks to me. Feel free to take down some notes if it's helpful. But first off, thankfulness is God's idea. Thankfulness is God's idea. This isn't something your parents invented to keep you from complaining or, you know, to make us think about our position or status in the world. You know, thankfulness is God's idea. Here, first of all, from the Psalms in the Old Testament. In Psalm 30, the psalmist wrote and said, and I believe the scriptures will be here on the screen if I'm not mistaken. Psalm 30, verses 11 through 12. There it is. It says, you have turned, he's speaking to God, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth. Sackcloth is clothing that they would wear in times of great sorrow, great grief, things you'd wear in times of distress, perhaps things you'd wear in a time of a funeral even. The psalmist says, you've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. God changing the feelings that we have. That's pretty awesome. Our culture is running after things to deal with our feelings. And the Bible says that God does this for us. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness that my glory may sing your praise. Not that my glory would just be my own story to go and declare to others how great my life is. No, but that my glory would sing God's praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You got to say thankfulness is found a key part in the psalmist's life. Psalm 106, verse 47, this was the nation of Israel. So this is not just an individual, but this is now a people of God in the 106th Psalm who said together in times of exile, they said, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Even in exile, you have the people of God thinking about giving thanks to God. Okay, now in the New Testament and more closely to our lives, why do we have reason to give thanks today? Well, listen to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, to those who have believed in Christ, he says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and abounding in thanksgiving. What happened when we received Christ Jesus the Lord? What happens when a person receives Christ Jesus the Lord? One more scripture passage. Read it here. Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that God who said, let light shine out of darkness, remember at creation, let there be light. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he opened our blind eyes to see God's glory, God's mercy, his forgiveness of our sins. We say, where is God? And God opens our eyes and said, he's right here on the cross. He's walked in our shoes. He has suffered as we had. We say, where is God in a world that's filled with death and difficulty? It says, right here, here's Christ on the cross, dying at the age of 33, an untimely death, one who was afflicted just as we are, but one who didn't just suffer pointlessly in the world, but one who also suffered for our sins, that we might be forgiven. So just remember the first time you came to believe in Jesus Christ, for those of you who can. I remember when my eyes were opened, and the God I had never known before, I came to know. He loves me. He's forgiven me of my sins. I'm right with God. I remember going to bed that evening, and thankfulness was overflowing in my heart. Or maybe you can't remember the time that your eyes were open when you believed in Jesus Christ, but you might have at some point in your life come to the realization that your eyes were opened. You say, I can't look back to the time when I knew I came to believe in Christ, but I can see that my eyes have been opened by God through Jesus Christ. I know who God is. I know what God has done for me. And the result is thankfulness, genuine thankfulness to God. It's actually a good self-reflective moment. If we struggle to give thanks to God, or if we feel that we have no reason to give thanks to God, we have either lost sight of what we have in Jesus Christ, or perhaps we have never come to believe in Jesus Christ, and we need to see what God is offering to us in his Son. And God gives us these instructions because, you know, thankfulness is a tune God wants us to sing when we follow Jesus. You know, when somebody sings out loud and out of tune, man, it is just like, it makes your skin crawl. It makes my skin crawl anyway, right? You're like someone singing behind you in a bad pitch. This is not about anybody here, so don't worry. But like, man, you would rather, yeah, whoo, blow it off, right? Right. You would rather just stick your hand in a sack full of badgers, right? To be like, I think I could endure badgers tearing up my hand than hearing somebody sing out of tune, right? But that's the way we sound when we've been given the grace of God in Jesus Christ, when we follow a God who's in control of things, but we persist in continued unthankfulness. It's out of tune. And so God gives us his word. He says, no, that's not my idea for you. Thankfulness because of Christ is my idea. Now, how do we live like that in the world? Second point, thankfulness is the very thing that gives us a taste of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Thankfulness is how we taste and see that the Lord is good. Nobody here likes to drink bitter coffee, you know, that cup of coffee that's made too strong and left in the pot forever. Or all of you all, when you drink a sip of unsweet tea, I love it when people come up from the South, you look like you just handed a motor oil. They sip that unsweet tea and it's just like, oh, they walk around with this look on their face. What do you do when your coffee's bitter? You add sugar. What do you do when the tea is unsweet? You're like, I can't drink this. You know, I need sweet tea, right? Well, God has given us thankfulness. He's given you and I thankfulness as a means to change what we're tasting. He's given thankfulness. Sometimes we go through life with a look on our face and an attitude in our heart that is like we are drinking bitter tea and drinking bitter coffee. And God says, I love you. I've given you Jesus Christ. I'm not changing my love towards you, but you have got to change what you're drinking. You're drinking the devil's tea, and it's making you bitter at all times. Thankfulness is how we taste our inheritance in Christ. So a couple things. As soon as we're thankful, just consider that it brings us into the presence of God. When we become thankful and we dwell upon God's promises to us, we instantly become not problem-centered, but God-centered. Remember David and Goliath? All the Israelites on the sideline, all they could see was the giant. And they said, he's so big, he'll kill us. David, by faith in God and trusting God's promises, David says, Goliath is so big, how could I miss? And the glory of God's at stake here. So we know what God's going to do in this situation, right? So thankfulness helps us not be problem-centered, but God-centered. I remember some of the most difficult moments in my life, times where I really doubted God's grace for me. It was actually when I was in high school, really struggling. Like, how do I know that I'm really a Christian? And it was really tied to the fact of, how do I know that God has really forgiven me of my sins? And the reason I struggled so much is because the only thing I looked at was the depth of my sin. I'm so thankful that I kept reading the Word of God, even though it didn't seem like it was working, but I began to learn that God's forgiveness is real in Christ. He said, it is finished. And as I began to look more and more at the Word of God, the problems came more and more into light of what God's promises were. And not that I never doubt His forgiveness now, but I am so sure of God, so much more sure of God's love and pardon of my sin now. So not only do we come into the presence of God, but we defeat the devil's efforts to control us and enslave us. It's like you change the numbers on speed dial. Instead of dialing up doubt of God's goodness, we break the cycle by giving thanks to God and running to His belief in promises. You know, the steps of doubt and unthankfulness take you down to the cellar. And nobody likes living in a cellar. It's dark down there. It's gloomy. And then you're like, why am I in the cellar again? Oh, I took all these steps of doubt and unthankfulness down there, but God offers the way back up, giving thanks to God, remembering His promises. But it is a choice that has to be ours. A perfect example of it in the scriptures, in the story of in the book of Genesis. You guys all remember Joseph, right? Joseph was one of the youngest kids in his family. You remember he had a whole bunch of brothers. Gets a vision from God. God's going to exalt Joseph to a high status. He's going to use him to bless God's people. He tells his brothers, and you remember what his brothers end up doing? They say, here comes this dreamer. Let's see what comes of him and his dreams. Let's kill him. But they end up not killing him. They just throw him into a deep ditch. They sell him into slavery. They fake death. He spends 11 years in Egypt working as a slave. By all accounts, we'd say God forgot Joseph. God's not listening to his prayers. God's not there. But Joseph was thankful to God, even as he was falsely accused for things he didn't do. He gets exalted eventually by God. He preserves food in a time of famine. And guess who comes knocking, needing food because they're starving to death? Joseph's brothers, right? And it's almost a turning point. What's going to happen to Joseph's brothers? And you think, it's Joseph's time to teach his brothers a lesson. But instead, he teaches them a lesson about the goodness of God. And he said, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. It was thankfulness that kept Joseph from becoming bitter like his brothers. We say, how can I keep from becoming bitter at the wrongs that other people have done to me? We all got people that bother us. We all got people that rub us the wrong way. We got people that we want to talk to God about all the time because they're just killing us, right? But thankfulness is a major way we can give thanks to God for His purposes and say, this is what's going to keep me on track and protect me from bitterness. Okay? So getting the blinders off our eyes, third thing now, you know, we've started to talk a little bit about the reality we can live with thankfulness in Christ, but now we're kind of talking about the difficulty of it, the weights of our doubts, the struggles we have day to day. How do we grow strong in our connection to God? I like to bench press at home. Beth likes to make fun of me, but I enjoy lifting. And the funny thing, you know, the only way you get stronger is with more weight on the bar. And I've got to learn how to handle the weight on the bar. And thankfulness is one of the, you know, important ingredients God gives you and I to get stronger as Christians. is how we grow stronger in our faith. Remember Noah building the boat? You're like, how does he build a boat for 100 years with people mocking him without a drop of rain? He had a strong faith. So, since God intends to keep all his word, there's third point then. It's thankfulness that links our lives to God's word. So how do we do that? Well, if this is helpful, you might want to write this down. We have to learn not to evaluate God's word in light of our experiences, but we have to evaluate our experiences in light of God's word. Let me say that again. We have to learn not to evaluate the word of God in light of what we feel, but we have to evaluate what we feel in light of the word of God. This sounds like work, doesn't it? Like, oh man, yeah, this is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. So instead of saying, I know what God's word says, but this is how I feel, you need to change where you put your butt, no pun intended. You need to be able to say, I know what I'm feeling right now, but this is what the word of God says. All Christian growth, thank God salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, God calling us, saving us in Christ. But now in Christ, he wants us to become a person who doesn't put ourselves above God's word and determine whether or not it's true. He wants us to submit ourselves to his word and learn to say, I know what I feel, but this is what the word says. I feel like I have nothing to be thankful for, but what has God done for me in Jesus Christ? I feel like I have no hope left for me. I feel like sorrow is all I've known time and time again, but what does the word of God tell me? He's given me a joy that will ultimately ride through all these sorrows in Jesus Christ into eternity. I feel like the issues of work or the problems in my family are just, I just don't want to deal with them anymore. But what does the word of God say to me? He will be with me and will never leave me nor forsake me. I know how I feel, but what does the word say? Thankfulness links our lives to God's promise. And all of a sudden we're like, holy cow, I am walking by faith and not by sight. And people are starting to say to me, I don't know how you're doing that. I can't explain why you have hope. You're broke, you got conflict, you got difficulties, you know, your life's not what it once was. Can you tell me what you have? And you say, I have found thankfulness in Jesus Christ. I found a God who's real and rewards those who seek him. Okay, so just a test, fourth point now. Told you we'd go quick. That cake is swelling on me. let's test ourselves now. And just take a moment to search ourselves. We want to be thankful in Christ, but let's see how we're actually doing. Sometimes it's helpful to not always be buttered up, but occasionally for you and I to be raked across the fire and say, honestly, how are we doing with thankfulness? You say, oh yes, thankfulness, Tony, love it, right? But how are we actually doing with it? Well, fourthly here, when we're thankful, we'll know it because we'll be able to see God's work on ourselves, not just on our situation. If we're truly thankful, we'll be able to see God is working on us, in us, and not just on our situation. To the point to where, though our situation remains unchanged, you will see that God is at work in you. He's changing you in the situation. Peter says this to Christians who were being killed by the Roman Empire. Killed by the Roman Empire, guys. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. It's not the challenges, it's not the trials that we're thankful for in and of themselves, but we're able to say, you know what, I'm thankful for what God is doing in me in the trials. I'm thankful for how God is making me a new person in Christ. And we begin to look not outward to our circumstances for joy, but we begin to look inward to the work that Christ is doing in us. Say, wow, I am a different person. And I'm freed from having to chase all the other things. And in high school, I didn't date anybody. And you know, all my other friends were dating people left and right, and you know, I was a little self-conscious, you know. And I realized, you know, as long as I'm with Christ, I have what I need. And you know, it was God's plan for me to not date that many people because God had my wife ready for me. And I'm glad it saved a lot of time that way. I'm not saying that's a bad thing if you're dating people now, but you understand what you look to in life changes. You don't look to things to try to add on to yourself, but you look inwardly to the work that Christ is doing in you. How does God see beauty? He sees beauty in a heart that worships him, beauty in a heart that does good works. When people make fun of you for being a do-gooder, God says, that's my child. That's doing good unto me. And we have a reward that is eternal. So every trial we face, I find comfort in this. Some trials are easy, some trials are not easy. And some trials are quick, and some trials remain and will remain until the day God calls us home. What are we to do in that when the wait remains? We take comfort knowing God has first allowed every trial into our lives. It's first come through his hands, and we have to learn to not doubt his love and doubt his promises, and see that what he's given us in Christ is enough. It covers whatever trial we're going through, and that will make our faith grow strong. And I look on the bench press, I say, is this too much weight, God? And God says, no, my son in you is enough, and you'll be able to handle this weight. And it shows the strength of Christ in a world that says, can that strength really be found? Is there a hope that's really eternal? So we're able to say, though the road might be dark, God's up to something good. And you know, we can live in the world and we can admit weakness and still feel safe. That's so weird, right? To be able to do that. We can live in a world, we can admit we've made mistakes, but be confident of God's forgiveness to us. We can receive correction from each other, but not take it personally. We can say, this is a sign of God's love, that God has blessed me with somebody who loves me enough to tell me where I'm wrong. You know, it's like somebody who tells you you got a piece of food in your mouth after you had lunch 2 hours ago. And you were like, all those people who saw me between now and then didn't really love me. But what am I gonna punch this person who just now told me I got food in my mouth because it distorts my image of myself? I'm going to say, no, thank you, because I don't want to walk around with a piece of broccoli in my mouth all day. I can get back on track now. So we can give thanks to people who even correct us. Okay? And lastly, fifth point. This is a bonus, really. Thankfulness to God will make your relationships with other people healthier. When we depend on God, it gets a lot harder to become wrongfully demanding of one another, right? And here's a few signs that you might be wrongfully demanding of other people, okay? A few signs that you might be depending upon people and not upon God. You might be too fearful of what other people think about you instead of trusting in what God says about you in Jesus Christ. You might be too dependent upon other people if you're more afraid of what people think about you than what God thinks about you. You might be too demanding of other people or too dependent upon other people if you find yourself easily hurt by small things. There's important reasons, things we do get hurt over and things that need to be dealt with, right? But there's small things that we've got to be able to see past if we claim to really depend upon the Lord. If you can't see past small hurts that come from another person and saying, I'm going to hold a grudge against this person, I'm not going to be kind to this person, you are basically making that person like they're your God. And they're not your God. And they're a terrible God. When you depend upon God, you'll find you don't have to be too easily hurt by others from small things. And you don't have to set unmeetable expectations for other people around you when you're thankful to God to provide what you truly need. And I'll just put it like this. If you don't rely upon God, you're not going to play well with others. You're either going to smother people because you're trying to just suck the life out of them. I remember my mom, at one point in my life, she was having a hard time because I was moving out of home. And I was like, Mom, you know, I'm not your source of security. You know, I moved out. I am moving on now. You're going to have to talk to God more about that hole in your life right now, right? And I'm sorry to just use you as an example, Mom, but it's only because she cared about me so much, too. But you're either going to choke the life out of people or you're going to drive everybody away from you because you depend wrongly upon people instead of upon God. So we'll close with this. Hold on, Ed. Let me finish up. We'll close with this. Thankfulness is the road with less potholes. It is the easier road to drive down in life. It's hard to be afraid when you find yourself giving thanks to God. If you find yourself afraid of something and not sure how to give thanks to God, man, talk with somebody. Be like, these are my fears. And get a brother or sister to be like, well, have you considered God's promises? Let me help you out there so your fears stop eating your lunch for breakfast. It's hard to be skeptical when you give thanks to God. It's hard to be devastated by criticism when you're thankful. It's hard to be unforgiving when you consider God's forgiveness of you. It's hard to be hopeless when you consider God's plans. And all these things, guys, we look to the Lord Jesus, who gave thanks even when it hurt. His suffering is greater than our suffering ever will be. And it was in order that we could not just be saved, but endure suffering and be delivered out of it. So Christ is our Savior, but he's our example. It's not us to evaluate God's plans or evaluate God's work in the world, but it's our place to trust in God's plans and say, you know what, I don't have to understand everything what I need to understand is how much my God loves me. And knowing how much my God loves me, I can trust that he knows all things, and he's going to see me through. So I invite you, it's a lot I just dove into there. I do want to close this in prayer. And so let's take this time here to pray. Father, thank you for the few moments you have afforded to us here this evening in the midst of a busy day, in the midst of a full week behind us and a full week ahead of us. Thank you for this moment that we have to pause and to breathe, spiritually speaking. Thank you for your word, which is true, and indeed your words are spirit and life. And Lord, we thank you that we've had a moment to see again that Christ loved us and gave himself for our sins. And he's risen again from the grave. So in him, we know your forgiveness. We know that you've taken our sins and put them at the bottom of the sea. We know that we have a deliverer in you, Lord Jesus, who is a friend of those who suffer wrongly, and that your eye is upon us, keeping us safely, watching over us, never leaving us or forsaking us. And Lord, we see, though, truly, we need to be thankful to you for that, to live in that reality, to be able to be confident of your love and to be able to speak of your hope for others, to be even be patient, Lord, with one another. So we pray that as we've heard of all that you've done for us now, would you please grant to we, your servants here, a right heart and a right spirit within us, Lord, that we may get, that we may learn to give thanks to you now and forevermore. Please hear our prayer, Lord, and answer our prayer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.